Thank you so much for hanging out with us. It's the John Kincaid Show on CBS Sports Radio. And we're doing our Super Bowl special here the day before the game, as we do every single year in the network's history. And I'm coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans studio, because Rocket Mortgage, they're going to be with you every step of the way. They're going to provide you a seamless mortgage experience. And boy, do we appreciate our friends at Rocket Mortgage and Quicken Loans for being a part of the John Kincaid Show Super Bowl special. I cannot believe that we are entering into our fourth hour. We're heading into the home stretch. I'll make my pick of the game this hour. We'll have time for your phone calls. Brad Gagnon joins us a little bit later on from Bleacher Report. His final thoughts. This is going to be great. Looking forward to it. And we hope that you are going to have a fantastic time hanging out with us. And if you are so used to hearing at this time the fantastic Ken Carmen, he'll be up with you in just a few moments. That's called 6 a.m. tomorrow morning. He gets my normal wake-up call tomorrow. That's, I mean, seriously, he's going to have a blast tomorrow morning. I know he's going to bring the energy and the fun, but I can't wait to hear how much he enjoys being up at that hour on Sunday morning. We'll get to that. I want to tell you right off the bat, this guy's judgment, flat out poor. But I'm not shocked. Ray Lewis came back to Atlanta. And then Ray Lewis had a Super Bowl party yesterday in Atlanta. There are some things in life where you just say, no, I'm gonna pass. That's not appropriate. I'm going to pass. And you can tell me all day long all the great things that Ray Lewis has done for his community and more since the incident in Atlanta that happened 19 years ago almost now. I live in this community. I've been here since 95. Ray Lewis coming back after having to plead guilty to obstruction of justice and being involved in a horrible, horrible incident the night of the Super Bowl between the Rams and the Titans all those years ago. Incredibly poor judgment. It's like giving the middle finger to the families of the victims of that night. Because Ray still hasn't found the urge or the desire to tell those families what happened that night. And by the way, if you wanted to interview Ray down here in Atlanta, you weren't allowed to bring up any question regarding what went on in Atlanta. Nothing like being a stand-up guy, Ray. Nothing like standing up and answering the tough questions. Want to show me how tough you are in life? Answer the tough questions. Have the backbone to show character there. If not, everything else seems to me like a church revival on some fundraising show with a phone number on the bottom of the screen. I'm choosing not to buy it. I'm also wondering if Jared Goff's up to a four-quarter duel with Tom Brady. I don't want to, you know, say that Jared Goff doesn't belong, because he does. He got his team here. But I really wonder whether he'll have the poise and, more importantly, maybe the experience under the pressure if he has to trade scores with Tom Brady for four quarters and make big throws. Think of how many big throws Nick Foles had to make last year in the Super Bowl in order to beat Tom Brady and the Patriots. If you want to do that, you got to make big plays over and over and over again. And I'm doubting Jared Goff a little bit about that. So I'm going to ask Brad Gagnon about that from Bleacher Report coming up in just a few minutes, around 20 minutes past the hour. But producer Tom has managed to get to the bottom of some of the things you may have missed this week on great coverage from CBS Sports Radio as Super Week has gone on from down here in Atlanta. And Tom, you found some more tidbits. We had some great ones earlier on in the show. What are some of the others you managed to find for us today?
Well, one of the all-time greats, Jerry Rice, joined DA earlier in the week and talked about a topic that you touched on a little bit in this show about Brady's greatness and how close to the greatest football player ever he is. Well, here's Jerry Rice's answer on if Tom Brady is the best football player ever.
I think you got to give him credit, but, you know, I look at it that there's a fraternity of GOATs. I mean, that really, really have transcended this game. And it might not even be in football. It could be in basketball. It can be in other sports. You look at, you know, it could be a doctor. It could be a lawyer. So there's goats all over the place. And I think with Tom Brady, what he's doing now is amazing. I think he's at the age of 41. This is another opportunity for him. But it's a whole different era now. You know, football is different. They have the run pass option. Back in the day, it was different. But, you know, you got to give him his just due, though.
That's what is that? What a goat or is that a sheep?
I think that works for a goat.
What? Yeah, goats are more like yeah. He thinks there's a fraternity of goats. I would say the fraternity of goats and receiver Tom, Randy Moss, Jerry Rice, and I'm not sure I want other people in the fraternity.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think Rice is ahead of Moss too.
But I keep those two, and I say. They're sort of like in the fraternity. They got a really small fraternity house.
It's interesting. I like the idea of a fraternity of goats without having
to necessarily
pick one. I like
it too, better than the goat.
One.
Yeah.
But I also think this answer is him also saying, no, Tom Brady is not the greatest football ever.
I think it is too. Yeah. I think it clearly was. What else did we hear this week? Good job by DA there.
Okay, this has to do with your Philadelphia Eagles, and this is Jay Ajayi, running back on Tiki and Tiki.
Love him.
This report came out a couple weeks ago about supposedly issues within the Eagles related to Carson Wentz's ego blowing up this year and him basically causing internal problems that might lead the team to go with Nick Foles in the future. Here's Jay Ajayi's response to that report.
That crap is weak, you know, to not put your name behind it, not to be brave enough to like you over here dogging your teammates to the media, like that's crap. And that kind of stuff, I won't lie, like that's not good stuff. Like when you start seeing those kind of cracks happen in the locker room, because for me personally, when I first got to Philly, there were no stories like that. Like there was no drama or like weird rumors coming out of the locker room. So like, I look at that like that's nonsense, you know, for it to start happening now, after we won Super Bowls and we've had success, like, that's weird. You know, Carson was just doing brilliant just one year ago, so I'm not...
But what, because they're anonymous, what if some of those guys are back next year?
And that's why I say that's dangerous, because it's not good when you start having cracks like that, because like I said... From my standpoint, being on the Eagles since I've been there, there's not been any like leakage. Yeah. They don't do that. And I won't lie, when I was in Miami, we would have like weird stories come out of people bashing each other. Like that's not good. Like that's what I mean when you talk about culture. So, like that kind of stuff. You don't want no leaks in your house. You know, you want to keep everything in house. If you got an issue, be a man. Step up. And address it. Don't go to the meat like that's weak. I'm sorry.
Okay, can I tell you a little? I have a personal insight on this story, where it somehow relates back to me, which I always do enjoy. The writer of that piece that's getting all the heat about this is a writer named Joe Santaliquido, who graduated in my high school senior class. We were classmates.
Wow.
I've known Joe since ninth grade. And I will just say this to Jay Ajayi's story. I agree with everything that Jay Ajayi just said. Agree with everything. There's nothing I disagree with. But what I do disagree with is I know the integrity of the guy who wrote the piece. I know Joe personally. I know he didn't make it up. I know he didn't make up the story. I know his integrity. I know his character. I've known him now for close to 40 years almost. I know his integrity. So somebody said it to him. But it is a danger. When people are doing the whisper down the lane thing, it is a danger. And it can pollute a locker room.
Do you think it's more Eagles internal politics or just a legitimate issue with Wentz's ego?
I think it's more internal politics. I really do.
That was
my sense
too.
It's more internal politics. I really do agree. And by the way, I do not want to see Nick Foles be a Giant or a Redskin. I do not want to see him end up with the Giants or the Redskins. Do not want to see that. And there is smoke in both of those places for Foles to end up there. I'm just going to tell you. If he is an unrestricted free agent, there's smoke at both of those locations. So think about it. So just to the audience. What else you got, Tommy?
All right. To end the recap with the feel-good moment of the week, Ryan Shazier joining DA. His story has, I think, been a feel-good
story
the whole way. But then actually just hearing him lay out his message of why he still feels like he's a fortunate person to DA earlier this week was pretty amazing.
If you really look back at it, man, I'm a, like you said, an All-American linebacker, two-time Pro Bowler. I was a first-round draft pick. Man, if you can't say that's not fortunate, I don't know what it is. You know, at the end of the day, I had an unfortunate situation happen to me. But that doesn't mean that you're not fortunate. Just because one bad thing happens to you doesn't mean your whole that you just have to look at your life like everything's gone wrong. And that's the thing that I try to just tell people all the time. You have to just always stay positive, always just constantly just think forward instead of, hey, man, this happened to me. Man, from now on, I can't do nothing. You know, I never had that mindset in my life, and I constantly keep pushing it and moving forward.
Well, and it's because of that that I think you're so inspiring. And we have listeners listening right now that have gone through difficult times. They've had tragedies happen. They've lost their job. They've lost a loved one. Something bad has happened. And it's hard to always be positive and to always feel fortunate. So how do you do so? How do you keep that perspective?
Man, I think I just was always that way, man. Like,
even before the injury?
Even before the injury. Like, I tell people all the time, man, like they say less than 1% of people make it to the NFL. You know, less than, and I always say, man, I'm an outlier. Everything in my life, I've always been on the other side of it. I have alopecia. Less than 20% of the people have alopecia. I have scoliosis. Less than like 30 or some percent of people have that. Then, well, less than 1% of people made the NFL. Less than 1% of the NFLers made the Pro Bowl. You know, less than 1% had the opportunity to be almost all pro. You know, things like that. And at the end of the day, if I feel like I made all these achievements, what tells me that, hey, I can't get over this, you know? And they said I had less than a 20% chance to walk. Yeah, that's bigger than some of the chances I ever had, you know? So I'm just going, hey, if I have less than 20% chance to walk, I got 20% chance to walk. If you say I had zero, then that's a different story. But if you say I got 1%, hey, it's something to fight for.
All right, Tom, I feel absolutely bad, and I need that on a loop. I need that on a loop for the day that I get pissed about something or the day that I... You know, Phil, and I've had cancer twice, and sometimes I find that I don't have perspective. That young man has tremendous perspective. Unbelievable. Just a fantastic job. Great job, Tom, bringing us some of the highlights of the week. Great, great job by Tiki and Tierney and Rome and DA out there on Radio Row. Some really, really good stuff that we got to share with you. Brad Gagnon from the Bleacher Report, who I got to hang out with the other night at the Super Bowl media party, is going to join us. And I'll ask him about this, is that as these two teams square off tomorrow, does he see any red flags for either one of them that maybe point to who is going to be victorious? We'll get to that next. John Kincaid Show, CBS Sports Radio.
This is the John Kincaid Show.
John Kincaid Show, glad to be with you on a special Saturday edition, Super Bowl 53. Now just what, 29 hours away? It's coming together fairly quickly. So the other night, I'm wandering through the Georgia Aquarium in downtown Atlanta where they're having the media party. And there was a part of the place where they strategically had like three bars to make sure that media members would get served quickly and be able to move around. And so I'm looking at who are the barflies standing right there in perfect position whenever the bottle would be empty or something to be able to go get a cocktail. And I met one of my favorites, Brad Gagnon from Bleacher Report, who was right there in perfect position. Brad, your strategizing was perfect on where to locate yourself.
Yeah, and I think that judging from your ability to recognize these strategies, that you may have practiced these strategies yourself.
I had home field advantage. I had home field advantage, you know, here in Atlanta this week. I knew how to beat you visiting people and everything. First of all, how have you loved my city?
I loved it very much. It's not only nice to get away from the weather that I had up in Toronto, but even though it wasn't exactly hot early in the week, today it's beautiful. And the Southern hospitality is a real thing. Like I'm sure you've noticed it at the media center in and about. All the volunteers, all the host committee members are just so great. And I've been to seven. This one's, Indy, I think, stands out as my all-time favorite. We're a day away from this one being complete, and I put it right there with Indianapolis in terms of how the entire process has gone.
That's awesome, man. And everything's so compact in Atlanta, too. It's everything's close together, which is good, gets you around. Tell me your impression, though. If I was to say to you, there is a red flag about the Rams that would make a Patriots fan feel confident, or a red flag about the Patriots that could make a Rams fan feel confident? What would you give me this Saturday afternoon?
I think the natural one, and it might be easy, but it's the Todd Gurley situation. It's the lack of experience in general for the Rams, and maybe Sean McVay's decision making, whether it be, you know, kind of macro decisions regarding how he utilizes Todd Gurley, which was of course one of the stories of the NFC title game, but also, you know, the weird decision to settle for the field goal on the previous drive. Some conservative coaching from him down the stretch this season. And you know, he was the coach of the year last year. I have immense respect for the guy, but he's going up against Bill Belichick and that vaunted Patriots team. So I think just generally the way he specifically approaches Gurley, but also how he approaches coaching this game is the kind of thing that I think the Patriots could exploit just because it's now the highest stage and they've been here and done this so many times.
Now, I mean, both of these teams, you know, coming into this game, we talk about that experience factor. And people try to decide whether, you know, experience matters. I know the last few years, experience didn't matter much in either of those games. Atlanta should have won a Super Bowl. They blew it themselves. And last year, the Eagles weren't fazed at all, weren't intimidated at all by the stage.
And remember, the Patriots have never run away with a Super Bowl. I mean, their most lopsided victory in a Super Bowl came in overtime. And, you know, a 6-point victory against the Falcons. And so they typically don't dominate this game. And a 5-3 record under Belichick and Brady isn't, you know, necessarily what you'd expect of a team that apparently has such an immense advantage. So not to go back on my original point, but yeah, as much as that's a potential red flag for the Rams in terms of what the Patriots can exploit, the difference in experience, the red flag for the Patriots might be the fact that they don't have like the best, the most clean record in terms of their Super Bowl performances, and they definitely can't. I mean, I'm a law of averages guy. I figure this is, you know, it's time for this kind of unlikely run of never having a lopsided Patriots Super Bowl to maybe come to an end. It seems like this could be that kind of game to me, just because it's a bit of an aberration for you know, a team to only win by 6-4, 3-3, and 3 in their 5 victories. So either this comes by a big margin because we're due for a blowout, and then, you know, we're all sad on Sunday because we don't get the incredible game that everyone wants and hopes, or I'm wrong, and then I'm happy because it's a great game. So I guess that's kind of me hedging too.
As Jared Goff, are you more confident of Jared Goff today getting to a Super Bowl than you were in Jared Goff's abilities in the beginning of November when they were steamrolling everybody?
I think it was good for him to go through the rut that he went through and that the Rams offense hit late in the year. I think that's important. I think you build from that. You realize that it's not going to be a cakewalk all season long. Your offense is fallible. You need to adjust to not having Cooper Kupp, who was much of a somewhat of a safety valve option for him and is now out for the year with a torn ACL. So I think they've sort of gotten through that, and he's grown from it. And you saw, I mean, some of those passes he was throwing down the stretch against the Saints. I mean, he had some serious zip. He looked calm, cool, and collected. That was his reputation coming out of school to begin with, and that definitely has shown up throughout the month of January and even late in the year after he, again, experienced that sort of slump. It's entirely possible that's what the Rams needed.
Brad Gagnon from Bleacher Report joining us here. John Kincaid Show, CBS Sports Radio, our Super Bowl 53 special going on. If I'm looking at the Rams and saying, what if they do hoist a Lombardi trophy? I saw the Eagles do it last year. They're not hoisting one this year. Do the Rams, in your opinion, the way they're built, the way they look to you, have serious staying power, or do you think this looks more like a really, really good year?
As long as you have the quarterback, you can have staying power. And there are concerns about, yeah, I mean, Ndamukong Suh didn't really live up to that contract anyway this year, but losing him would still hurt. And he, of course, becomes a free agent. They have a few other contracts they need to take care of. So they could take a bit of a ding. And obviously they've sort of built themselves for what's somewhat of a short window based on that. But again, if you have Jared Goff and he becomes what he's supposed to become, or he continues on the current trajectory that he's riding, you know, you can rebuild a roster pretty easily outside of the quarterback position. It doesn't take long. So I can see them going through a larger transformation than maybe we're used to for a young kind of team that's on the rise. But again, as long as those two key ingredients are there, particularly the quarterback, but also the head coach and Sean McVay, I don't think that we're going to see them experiencing any sort of major Super Bowl hangover.
Do you buy into the Sean McVay is a super genius or not?
I think it's too early. I think, you know, that whole joke about, you know, his Starbucks barista was being interviewed for head coaching vacancies. I mean, it is very typical of this league, you know, the copycat league, and you jump on things quickly. And if you, recognize the potentially, you know, the start of something special, everyone wants to kind of grab a piece of it. It's entirely possible this is something special. It's incredible for a guy, for a millennial to go out there and win coach of the year in his first season. And you know, I spoke to a lot of Rams players this week about it, and I was like, you know, you have to have moments when you're like, well, this guy is young. Like, maybe it's even what he's, you know, alluding to pop culture-wise and all that. But they're like, not really. Wade Phillips, a lot of them said, feels as young in terms of their, you know, their conversations and the way they are in the locker room as Sean McVay does. And so he's, you know, I think that he's got the right mindset, mentality. Obviously, his offense is fantastic and innovative, and the focus on the jet sweeps and the focus, of course, on the play action that's been so successful. So I don't see any reason why he won't have a great career, but I'm not already prepared to, you know, start writing up the Hall of Fame reflection piece.
Brad, I want you to know I'm not one of those Gen Xers that says that everything that's wrong with the world is because of you millennials. I just want you to know. I believe you're to blame for most of it, but not all. I just want you to know.
We'll take that. We'll take that on our shoulders, and then we'll make sure that we remember that when we're taking care of you guys.
There we go. Yeah, you better take care of me. Hey, Brad, great meeting you the other night. Look forward to seeing you again soon, buddy.
It was great to put a face to the Twitter handle, John.
And the great hair, right? Is the hair better in person than it is on the Twitter handle?
You know what? Yeah, you were dapper. Yeah, I would say that. I think that you definitely are. You stood out, man. You did well, and you know where to hang out at those parties too.
I do.
I think we both know how to strategize.
I also know Uber very well. Thank you very much, Brad. A bad connection, Brad. Got to get rid of you. Good job, buddy. Thanks, man.
Thanks,
Brad Gagnon from Bleacher Report. Be sure to be following him, checking in with him. Great, great job as he covers the Super Bowl. The Super Bowl media party was great. And I want to tell to my brethren, thank you this week, because I've not seen any incident of it. When you out there in the audience, you don't care if we like the food where we visit for a Super Bowl. You don't care if we have to ride a shuttle bus an extra 15, 20 minutes. So many of my media brethren talk about it at every Super Bowl as if, I'm complaining about this and I can't believe this. People don't care. Greg, they don't care. But what media members complain about, the regular guy listening or reading or watching, they don't care about this stuff.
I'll be very honest. During Super Bowl week, I follow a lot of people on Twitter, and I will go to see if they post pictures of restaurants that they go to in
sure.
a new city, because I'm a foodie, so that's what I look for first
foodie,
and foremost.
You are a foodie, are you?
Oh, yeah. That's
okay,
all I care about.
Are you a foodie eater, or are you a foodie, too, like when you get in the kitchen yourself?
A little of both. I'd say I'm more adventurous when I go out to eat, but that's all I care about is what people are eating in a new city.
Wow. Wow, but it's good, though. But you don't care about, like, you know, like, so many media members go, oh, I'm complaining, it's cold here. I'm complaining, the city's not laid out right. I have to go on a 15-minute shuttle bus ride. And I'm always thinking to myself, do you realize you got plumbers and doctors and electricians reading you that wish they were at the Super Bowl and you're there, idiot?
Here's what my dad tells me. He's a dentist. He says the grass is always greener, so I always go by that.
Wow. My daughter just had to have her 4 wisdom teeth taken out on Thursday.
That was 15. Fun one. I had that too. And
that young? Did you do it that young?
No, I was actually older. I was in my mid-20s, I think.
I did it at 44.
Oh, what are you thinking?
Four wisdom teeth taken out at 44, and I couldn't wake up from the anesthesia.
Yeah, I was awake for it, and I drove myself to and from the procedure.
Oh!
Yep.
Okay, that's crazy. Your dad's tough, man, but a dentist. I'm telling you. That's awesome. Thanks, Greg. Appreciate it.
It was a pleasure.
All right. I want you to get in on the phone lines. We've got time. We got to wrap up this show. The Super Bowl special is coming to a close. I want to discuss all the different things we've been talking to you today at 855-212-4CBS. But you got to get past Tom, and he's a bulldog, and he's not letting you on with dumb stuff. Please be innovative, be fun, be interesting. Come with a debate. We'd love to hear from you. 855-212-4CBS. That's how you get in on the show. It's the John Kincaid Show, CBS Sports Radio Super Bowl 53 special.
Welcome back to the JK Show on CBS Sports Radio. Live from Atlanta, site of Super Bowl 53.
Can't believe we are already almost to the finish line of this Super Bowl special. Live from Atlanta, Super Bowl 53 tomorrow on CBS. As my man DA likes to remind everybody of all the time. Remember that tomorrow. Nate, Coach, Phil, JB. Coverage begins at 2 Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific tomorrow on CBS. If you wanted to get a phone call in, you got the opportunity at 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4CBS. And that toll-free line is brought to you by our friends at Geico. A quick way you can save money, make the switch to Geico. If you need homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance, you can get it all at geico.com. So be sure to get that. Our friends from Geico, your fine business there. I don't want to doubt. And I got a guy here saying, yeah, well, Jared Goff's going to prove you wrong. Look, I'm going to tell you flat out. I don't want to doubt Jared Goff because of the fact of what he's accomplished. But in that NFC title game, I saw a guy look really shaky in the first quarter. First three possessions, he is shaky. He's throwing behind people. He is not in his element. And then a fake punt turns things around. They start rolling him out. Use the bootleg and some others and get him some time, get him some space. He gets comfortable. He completes some throws, and that works out. It does not work out for you against the New England Patriots if you have a series of three and outs, if you have a series of times where you are not able to convert, you are not able to be able to move the football, put points on the board. You cannot give Tom Brady the ball back without putting points on the board yourself, 2-3 possessions in a row. But here's a number. Last 5 years, you do that, you go three times, three possessions in a row without putting points on the board against Tom Brady in his career, you're in the mid-80% win range. The Patriots are going to slaughter you. Can you trade scores? Can you get out to a lead? Can you make them play from behind? All those things happened in the Super Bowl 2 years ago, and they beat Atlanta. All those things happened in the Super Bowl last year, and they lost to the Philadelphia Eagles. So it all comes down to this, folks. Super Bowl 53, and if you want to get a call in, you can at 855-212-4CBS. I don't want you to call me a personal number. I'd rather you didn't do that. 855-212-4CBS. I saw a few things being observed this week down at Radio Row, watching the national media talk about this game. And I think they get suckered in a lot on Brady and Belichick, Brady and Belichick, Brady and Belichick. And look, recognizing their greatness is absolutely paramount. You need to. In order to properly discuss any of these things, any of this history, you've got to understand it. The greatness is there. But you will hear many that just go to the trump card of Brady and Belichick. Well, Brady and Belichick, Brady and Belichick. Look, Dan Quinn, and Coach Quinn is a great dude. Like him a lot in Atlanta. But Dan Quinn, fantastic roster builder. Fantastic culture builder. But Dan Quinn, I'm not trusting him to win a game of Connect Four versus Bill Belichick as much as win a Super Bowl against Bill Belichick. And the fact is, you have a 28-3 lead and you blow it, is an absolute indictment. I mean, it's horrible that that happens. I mean, just absolutely atrocious. But the fact is, Dan Quinn had them beat. Kyle Shanahan and Dan Quinn had them beat. Let them off the hook. Last year again, Doug Peterson, Nick Foles. Nobody talks about Doug Peterson being on the, you're listening to a lousy radio show if they do Mount Rushmore shows. But if you're listening to lousy radio and you hear them do a Mount Rushmore show, if Doug Peterson ends up on the Mount Rushmore of coaches or Nick Foles on the Mount Rushmore of quarterbacks, you know it's an even worse show than the one you thought you tuned in for. They're not there. They beat Brady and Belichick. Tom Coughlin and Eli Manning. Did it twice. It's easy to focus on the biggest names. It's easy to focus on the shiny toy in the room. Fact of the matter is this. You're going to have your shot against the Patriots. If any past Super Bowl tells you, you're going to have your shots. But you got to capitalize. You got to. You must cash in. And how about this for a jump start? You better cash in early. Because as we told you before, 7 of the 8 Brady Super Bowls scoreless in the first quarter. 3 total points in 8 Super Bowls. That number's ridiculous. For a guy that is as great as Tom Brady and a coach that is as great as Bill Belichick. That's an absurdly awful number. And guess what? It doesn't come with a lot of self-inflicted wounds either. They're not beating themselves. They didn't go out there in those first quarters and throw a bunch of interceptions, fumble the ball, do terrible things. Which makes me think that Bill Belichick is so good and Tom Brady's so good that they decide, you know what? We can win a 60-minute game, but we can just as well win a 45-minute game. And we can just as well win a 30-minute game if it comes down to that. Get them into a 15-minute game. Their odds go down exponentially. You've seen Foles come back and snake them. Saw Eli Manning do it twice. And you can throw out the ridiculous nature of 28-3, which, by the way, still to me, to this day, is a scourge. I mean, for these Falcon fans down here in Atlanta, it's a scourge. It's a wound that will never heal. And I really believe when one day, if they are lucky enough to win a Super, not lucky enough, if they're good enough to win a Super Bowl, it still won't totally take away the pain of 28-3, which is just awful. There's been a lot of speculation, and we talked about it a little bit earlier in the show today, that this could be Rob Gronkowski's last game. And I said it earlier, and I'll say it again. If it is, Gronk, thank you. Because I'm one of those sports fans. I'm one of those guys who always tended to be more of a traditionalist. Always tended to be a little more button up. The fun that you have brought to the National Football League in an era where guys like me had to be converted into having more fun and have more fun with it and don't be so button up. I love the guys that bring flamboyance and flair to the table in a baseball game now. I love it. Love it. Love the young Latin players coming up that are bringing personality and a little swagger to the game. If you'd asked me that 5 years ago, I didn't. Rob Gronkowski is the example of the guy that my daughter hardly follows football. She loves her Eagles, but doesn't watch the NFL, you know, like a religiously. She doesn't know every. She knows Gronk. She knows Gronk. And she smiles and laughs at his antics and she thinks he's funny. He relates to people. As much as some will point to Gronk being like a man child, do you know how much money he's making for the next generation of players? And do you know how much he shows you about having fun? I think every one of us can learn a little bit from Rob Gronkowski. You can learn a little bit about just enjoying life and enjoying yourself when you're on your job. I know that I've learned it working with Shaq. I've never known an individual in my entire life more joyous than Shaquille O'Neal on a daily basis. You see it on TV, you see it other places. He's a joyous guy, and he's helped me be more joyous. We all need, especially after this whining about the NFC and the AFC championship games, we all need to get back to the time, and Tom talked about it earlier, our producer today, about the idea of being more, having a little more fun with sports. Sports is supposed to be fun. It's supposed to be a real fun time. Unfortunately, for many, it doesn't come to that. We don't end up being the fun police. We end up being the fun police far too often. All right. One thing I'll tell you about this before I get to my pick, the Super Bowl 53, Super Bowl 52, Super Bowl 51, I think it shows you just recent history. You don't have to be a great team to win a championship. You don't even have to have a spectacular unit of a team to win a championship. But you better be able to handle adversity. You better be able to overcome injuries. You better be able to find the common denominator of strategy meets skill meets opportunity to win a championship. But look at these matchups. This isn't the best Patriots team by far. Not the best Patriots team they've ever brought to a Super Bowl, but they're there again. The Rams, anybody calling them a great team? They had an elite offense, but are the Rams a great team? Last year's Eagles, great team? No. I'm an Eagles fan. Great Patriots last year? Nope. I think Patriots last year a little better than this year. A little better. Just a bit. The Falcons a couple years ago? Great team? Great offense. Historically great offense. One of the best 8 regular season offenses ever. You don't have to be a great team to win a championship. Not anymore. You don't have to be perfect to win a Super Bowl. Both teams got to remember that tomorrow as they face off on the field. And I'll say it right here. A couple years ago, I told you to take the Falcons and the points. I never thought that there'd be a 28-3 lead and the blown lead and the Patriots winning, but you would have won. You would have had the opportunity to win, and then boom, they fell apart. Last year, I told you all along, I told you not to take the points. I told you the Eagles were going to win the game. Don't take the points. I will tell you this year to lay the points. I think the Patriots are the better football team. I think the Patriots are the team more likely to not have a meltdown moment, and the NFC title game scared me with the Rams at the beginning of that game. Tom Brady is amazing, but boy, does he have a lot of amazing talents around him. And aren't they well-coached, and aren't they smart? And those drives at the end and the beginning of that Kansas City game, to me, were jaw-dropping in modern-day football. With the precise nature, the discipline, the calm, the dedication to the game plan. Patriot fans, you're spoiled rotten. And I think you're going to be spoiled rotten again. And I think you're winning Super Bowl 53. I will give the Patriots a 34-24 victory. So I guess that means I'm saying 58-34-24, which right around that over-under number. So I would tell you, lay the points with the Patriots. And they're going to end up winning a Super Bowl. And if Gronk says goodbye, I'm going to tear up a little bit. Got to tell you, I'm going to tear up. We need more fun like him. Billy, great job today running the board for the second half of the show. Brian McCann, you were awesome too. Peter Schwartz, Greg Caserta. And of course, DIB, Tom, producer extraordinaire, doing a fantastic job for this Super Bowl special. Ken Carman's back next weekend in his normal slot. I'll be back next Sunday in my normal slot. Ken's got my show tomorrow. Have a great Super Bowl 53 weekend. Atlanta, you did wonderful. Talk to you next time on CBS Sports Radio.